Welcome, welcome, welcome to God's church, God's house. So glad that you're here. So glad that you're watching us online too as well. Welcome to everyone who's joined us in person, online. So glad that you are here. You know, I believe that people, that families need a strong church that stands strong, that supports them, and that gives them the opportunity to meet with like-minded people. Amen? And so I want to thank you. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for leaning in. Thank you for getting up. Thank you for getting here. Thank you for doing your part. Thank you for encouraging us. You know, we're a church. We're not a perfect church, are we? And we're not perfect because I'm in it, and guess what? Because you're in it. Right? We agree with that? No, but listen, but this is a great church, and it's filled with lots of good people. Amen? I'm so glad that you're here. I want you to think about this. Yolanda and Jody made this comment about, you know, we spend about 20 minutes a week in worship. Well, I want you to think about this, that our average church service, our average meeting is about... maybe an hour and a quarter. Would you agree with that? Maybe an hour and a half, but an hour and a quarter to an hour and a half, which equates to about 2.5 to 3 days a year, right? Now, I want you to think that in the light of your work. Think about that in the light of school. Think about that in the light of watching television. You know that the average North American spends 75 days a year watching television. Wow. How much time do we spend in church a year? Wow. Can I say this? We can't afford not to be in church. And we can't afford not to have our children in church. One of the biggest lies that some Christians believe is that the church doesn't matter. That's a lie. Can you say to your neighbor beside you, church matters. Church really matters. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we can gather together as your church today. And I thank you, Lord, for the word of God and the power of your word and the power of preaching, because it has the power to change lives. And I pray that today that each of us would hear your word, we would believe your word, and we would put it into practice for our personal benefit and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone agreed and said, amen. 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 We're into a brand new series. It's called Truth. It's all about truth. And that the power of truth is that it has the power to liberate people and to set them free. We need the truth, don't we? We need the truth because... this world, we're talking about the series because this world is filled with lies. In fact, we have to probably deal with lies in every area of our lives, really. When you think about it, we have family lies, we have culture lies, we have political lies, we have lies that people say to us, and we have lies that we say to ourselves, don't we? Listen, we need truth. So as believers, what is truth for us? So, on your PowerPoint, as believers, truth for us is based on two things, and two things only. Number one, and this is so obvious, take a guess what that first one is. The Bible. The Bible. Truth for us is based on the Bible, literally on the principles, the precepts, the parables, the proverbs, and all the promises of God. 40 different writers wrote the Bible over a period of 15 centuries. All in various styles, and all of them point to the one true God, to the same and to the only way to salvation is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, the Bible is no ordinary book. It is inspired by God. As believers, truth for us is based on the Bible. And the second thing that we should base our truth on is this thing called facts. 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 What is right? What is correct? What is actual? According to facts. Truth is actual facts about a matter, right? Not what people believe, not what people think, and not what people feel to be true, but what is actually true. Now, question. What if I don't like the facts? What if the facts are negative? What if I don't accept them? Well, the answer is, well then, you're going to base your life and your decisions on nothing more than feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Somebody shoot that cat. And Jesus said, if you do that, that's foolish. Not only is it foolish, it's dangerous to do that. So much of what we're hearing today, so much of what we're listening today, these voices that are speaking to us through media and through other voices, so much of what we're listening today is not factual. It's not really educating us. So much what we hear today is indoctrinating us. And there's a difference between this thing called education and indoctrination. There's a website. It's called differencebetween.net. And this website is specifically, its mission is to differentiate between two things that are similar. And this is what that website tells us, that education involves the seeing of facts and learning about what is true and what is not. That's what education should be. Indoctrination is aimed at influencing people to believe in facts without being able to back up these new founded facts with anything but opinion. There's a lot of indoctrination going on in the world today. And if you don't believe it, you got to open up your eyes. So much of what is being taught today in our education, in our education system, is not education, it's indoctrination. There is a demonic strategy released from hell to remove God from our education system, remove prayer, remove the Bible, remove faith from education, and there's a new religion emerging. You know, I want to say, speak to parents this morning. Parents, you have every right to know what is being taught to your children at school. Amen? The worldview is totally opposed to our Christian faith. And when our kids start hearing worldview compared to what we've been teaching them, what the Bible teaches them, there's confusion there. See, well, I don't want my kids or my grandkids in a system, an education system, that is constantly indoctrinating them with lies about themselves. You know, and I think it's time as parents, you need to find out what's being taught and to speak up and to speak out, because your kids are just too valuable. Do you agree with that? You know, and as people, as citizens living in this country, we don't want to live in a country where we're constantly hearing and being indoctrinated with lies and deceptions that are claimed to be proofs, be truths, but they're nothing more than people's opinions. You know, and as I start to hear some of these things that are being said, as this is what's happening in the world, this is dangerous, and this is happening, and our world's falling apart, and we got to do this, and we got to adjust our lives. We got to start eating insects. We got to get rid of cows because they belch too much, they fart too much methane into the air, right? And you know, and the world's getting so overpopulated, we got to get rid of some people. You hear all these things, and the need for multiple vaccinations, not just every 3 months now. I mean, you got to start to question the real science behind what is being spoken. Amen? For your own safety and for your protection. I'm not saying that everything that we're hearing is wrong, But I tell you, there are some deliberate exaggerations and opinions that are not true. It's not education, it's indoctrination. You know, and this is not new today in this era. It's been happening since the beginning of time. Satan's been trying to attack the world and all that God loves. And let me tell you, he loves people. And Satan wants to destroy people's lives. Amen? And he'll do whatever means and ways that he will use to do that. When you think about what some of the things are that we're hearing today, that fossil fuels should not be used. You're thinking, what? That's energy. That's the source that God put and gave us, you know, to heat and for fuel. You know, we need that. And to go to electricity. And you hear some of these reports from people who really know what they're talking about. And they're true scientists. And you know the history of global warming. And they say, you know what? Check out the facts. The history tells us that this world is not going to be destroyed because the temperature of the world is skyrocketing. It's not true. We need to examine and to find out what's really true, what's education, and what's indoctrination. Amen? You know, and the world is living in fear, receding, isolating, because of all these things that are being proclaimed as truth. And much of it is nothing but lies and deception. I probably said too much, right? And you go on and on, you know, electric cars, fuel shortages, eating insects, on and on as the stomach turns. Don't get mad at me. Maybe, listen, we need truth. We need truth today. So I'm going to give you four things about truths. You can write these down. Number one, truth is a person. John chapter 1, verse 1. This is the Amplified Version. It says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and what? Truth. For a while the law was given through Moses. For a while the law was given through Moses. Grace, unearned, undeserved favor and spiritual blessing and truth came through Jesus Christ. Truth is a person. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 18, verse 37. Jesus said, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, another version says, everyone who loves the truth listens to my voice. And in verse 31, he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You notice here, Jesus always referred to the truth. He didn't say your truth or their truth. He said the truth. Listen, I want the truth. I don't want their truth. I don't want the world's truth. I don't want my truth. I want the truth, right? Jesus is the truth. Number two, truth is discovered, and I stole this point from somebody else. Truth is discovered is not what you and I decide. Today, there's this trend. There's a trending idea that truth is whatever you believe and whatever you feel to be true. For some people refer to feelings, to opinions, and to experiences as their truth. It's their self-identity. And that's a big word a term that's being used today. My self-identity. The way I feel, what I believe, and my experiences is truth to me. Self-identity. And the people around, if you're one of those, then you're one of those that have people around you who are not supposed to tell you it's not true, because it's not polite and it's not nice to tell you that it's not true. It's quiet in here. Proverbs 18, verse 17. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines them. The first to present their case seems right till another comes forward and questions them. Right? We need facts. How do you find facts? You find out the facts by asking questions, by seeking, and by inquiring to find out if the facts are really the facts or they're just someone's lie or their opinion. Proverbs 18:15 says the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. For the ears of the wise seek it out. Knowledge, facts, truth, right? It's our duty and it's a responsibility to check out with what you hear is really true. I'm reminded in the Bible, in the book of Acts, Paul was preaching in two different places. One was called Thessalonica. Those people, he preached the gospel. He preached the truth to them. Those people got so mad. He said, we don't believe it. Get out of here. They tried to kill him. So he took off. They took off. And he went to a place called Berea. And the Bible says in Acts that the Bereans have more noble character because they checked out to see if what Paul said was really true. We need to be Bereans. Amen? We need to be more like the Bereans. Number three, kingdom truth and facts are the only foundation that we must build our lives upon. You think about it. When Jesus came to earth, he did not come in to fit into the world's ideologies and philosophies and concepts, but he came to bring kingdom concepts, kingdom truths. Why? So that we could be kingdom-minded and not worldly and humanly minded. Amen? Here's another thing about truth. Kingdom truth, Bible truth, will challenge your mind. It will be a paradigm to the way you think and to what other people say. Amen? And it's based on the eternal, ancient truths that never, ever change. Even if you don't like them. Today, I believe that people, and we as a people, and as a world, we're facing a time of great crisis. And one of the reasons is because of the ignorance of truth, of God's truth. I said there's probably never been a time in this history when Bible truth, even among Christians, is at an all-time low. You know, I know that there are some Christians, they can't even recite, they can't even declare key Bible verses to address the fundamental issues of their life. You know, we look at the church, we look as a church, you know, we need strong Bible-believing churches. Most of the churches today are not solid Bible teaching centers like they used to be. They used to be rich in Bible knowledge. Amen? You know, but we need Bible teaching today. We need Bible teaching that's spirit-filled, that's strong in doctrine, and that changes lives. Amen? That's what we need. We need truth that will change our lives. Truth will kind of be like a paradigm. It will challenge the way that you think. Here's what Hosea said. Hosea said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, And I believe that we're living in a similar time when the prophet declared these words, "My people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true." Why is that? Why would people not know what's right or what's true? And he says, because you've turned your back on knowledge. So why is there such chaos? Why are we in such a state of chaos? I suggest this. We suffer a leadership crisis. Where are all those godly leaders who know their Bible from cover to cover? Right? I heard of this, of an old story about a judge. And he couldn't find a Bible in the courtroom. He had to swear in a witness, but he couldn't find a Bible. So he says, "Who here is a Bible-believing Christian?" One guy raised his hand. He says, "Come up here," had the guy stand right in front of him, had the witness lay his hand upon that guy's head, swore that guy in. The Word of God. We our lives are so dependent upon the Word. Amen? And that's really true. Gone are the days when Christians are known to be Bible-toting, Bible-quoting Christians. Amen? Living in submission to the Word of God. Our lives need to be aligned to the Word of God. Aligned to the Word of God. And I might have told this story before, but I'll tell it again, because it fits so well. A few years ago, we own a RAV4. It's an older RAV4. It's Karen's car. She loves it. But we got a notice in the mail that said, "You need to replace your alignment arm." There's an alignment arm that somehow connects the wheels. And so we needed to replace that. It was a recall. So we took it in and made an appointment. I thought, "Wow, it's going to be there all afternoon." They were done like about half an hour. So they changed the alignment, but they didn't realign the tires. So at the end of the fall season, just before winter, we went and got our tires changed over. And then we found out that our almost new all-season summer tires were totally worn in the inside, in the insides, to the point where we could have had a blowout and experienced a major accident in our lives. You know, and I say it's the same with God's truth. If you don't align your life with God's truth, right? If you argue with the truth, and you say, "Well, I'm going to live it. No, I'm going to do it my way. I don't want to do it that way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do that my way in my life with my spouse, my marriage, my business. So I've always done it this way. So this is the way that I'm going to do it." You know what I say? It's just a matter of time when you're going to experience a blowout in your life. Amen? Truth. I'm not sure this is truth. When it's not accepted, creates a crisis that doesn't have to happen in your life. Amen? I say we need to get back to the Bible. When you need to go and get your car fixed, you find the best mechanic, right? When you need an operation, you find the best surgeon. But when you need answers to life, real answers, what do you go to? When you need to know, when you want to know about your origin, your purpose, morals, you want to know about your destiny, where you came from and where you're going and why you're here. When you want to know what's right and what's wrong. When you want to know about the ultimate purpose of human life on earth. When you want to know about the sources of freedom and fulfillment and joy and peace and life. You know, we've got to go way beyond what even the most brilliant minds here on earth can discover. Amen? And answers, apart from God's revelation, are doomed to fail. And Jesus said, anyone who builds his life on the wrong foundation is just one storm away from the collapse. Number four. You guys are so quiet this morning. Whoops, I just lost my place here. Number four. One more. Truth or facts are worth standing up for and fighting for. Mother Teresa. Everybody knows who's Mother Teresa. We had some problems with the PowerPoint. I had some picture slides up here. But Mother Teresa gave a speech before the National Prayer Breakfast in 1994. And she did it before national leaders, including Bill and Hillary. I'm just going to read you the story, this article. Bill and Hillary Clinton, the most powerful couple in the world at that time, were there. And they were known, they were well-known advocates of abortion. But Mother Teresa, with her small, twisted body that was less than 5 feet tall, spoke to the large gathering of elegantly dressed dignitaries and said, I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is a war against the child, a direct killing of the innocent child, murder by the mother herself. And if we accept that a mother can kill her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? And it says many there present could not handle the truth. There's a similar story happened in the Bible in Acts chapter 5 with Peter and the apostles. It's not on your PowerPoint, but listen to this. Acts 5:27. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. Can I suggest to you that there is a law that is higher than human law, and it is transcendent above all human law. Jesus put it this way. Or God put, you know, the Bible puts it this way, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, where God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I say there has to be a standard that is higher than your own desire and what you believe is best for yourself. And this moral law needs to be not just between the pages of a Bible, it needs to be written on your heart and on every human heart. There was a new study from the Christian Research Institute at Arizona Christian University, which showed that some 58% of Americans, we could say North Americans, surveyed don't believe in God's moral law. Maybe that's not so surprising. But okay, so let me just repeat that. 58% of Americans surveyed don't believe in God's moral law, but that it's up to the individual to decide what is true and moral. And the article says, and amazingly, only 43% of those who identify as evangelical, Bible-believing, born-again Christians still embrace absolute truth. Wow. 43% of Christians believe that God's word is absolute truth. We have a problem. The director of CRC, the Canadian Research Center, Dr. Tracy Munsell, says the implications of that finding are staggering for the next generation and should be a call to action for older generations. We are seeing an untethered generation, young people completely adrift with no foundation in God, biblical truth, or standards of morality. The very things that enabled generations before them to live well and to flourish. Those who still recognize the truth of God and his standards have a responsibility to share these with the next generation, or they will be lost to this next generation, maybe to our nation forever. Wow. Can I say this to you? As pastors and as leaders, we want to stand and fight with you for your children and for future generations. We want to stand with you to fight against all the laws, all the lies and deceptions that we are seeing in our lives, in our schools, and even in our churches. It's time to stand up and rise up. See, we live in this world that's literally saturated. It's surrounded by darkness and negativity and doubt. And let me tell you, we need the light of God's truth, don't we? We need to stand up for truth today. It's knowing the truth. It's not just knowing the truth. It's practicing the truth. That's the key to freedom. This week, I ran across this guy, this biography of this guy, and I started to look at his biography. And this guy, I don't have a picture because we couldn't get our slides up there, but his name is Edward Everett. He was born in 1974. He died in 1863. Lived in the 1800s. This guy, as I read his biography, this was an amazing man. He was former U.S. Secretary of State. He was a politician. He was also a pastor. Who says that Christians cannot be politicians? Who says that Christians should not be involved in politics? He was also an educator. He was a diplomat from the state of Massachusetts. He served as a U.S. representative, also as a senator, as the 15th governor of that state. He was also minister to Great Britain. He was also a great author, a great writer, and a tremendous orator. Edward Everett wrote these words: "Education is a better safeguard of liberty than a standing army." Let's read that again. Education, knowing the truth, recognizing the truth, is a better safeguard of liberty than having an army standing around you. We need people who are educated and armed in the Word of God. Do you agree with that? Truth. He goes on to say this. So it should be up on your screen. "Truth is liberty in many ways. It has the power to eradicate ignorance, sin, poverty, bondage, and make individuals become free indeed. The Bible is God's liberating power of divine truth. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable." Wow, don't you love the way he writes that? So here's the challenge in his words on your PowerPoint. So, read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. Here's why. Let me read this to you. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is this grand object. Our good is its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Wow. So true, isn't it? So, in his words, on your PowerPoint, read it slowly, read it frequently, and read it prayerfully. There's our challenge. Why? He goes on to say, it is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened in the judgment, and will be remembered forever. And this is why Jesus said to the people who believed in him, John 8:31-32, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How many are thankful for the Bible today? How many of you are thankful? Let's give praise to God. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your truth. Jesus, thank you for Jesus. You are the way. You are the life. You are the truth. And we are so grateful for all that you've given us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bow your heads, please. You know, you may be here today and you don't really personally know Jesus. See, God has a plan for you. God wants you to give up your empty way of living so that you can have, you can receive his life, abundant life, eternal life, right? But you have to give up. You have to surrender your old life. You can receive all this. And let me tell you, it's not an easy life, but it's a life that is powerful in significance and purpose. So today he's calling you. He's calling you to believe in him and to receive what he did for you on the cross. And you know how you do that? By simply saying this prayer and really mean it. But listen, if that's what you want for your life, and you're ready to surrender your old life and you're ready to live for God, and he'll give you the power to do it, then you just have to repeat this prayer with all seriousness. If you're not serious, then don't pray it. But if you're serious, you will receive what he has promised. So if that's you, bow your heads, close your eyes, repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm answering your call to come to you. I want you in my life to be Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray.